This is 102.9 WLAS in Newton, Massachusetts. On the line now is Tom Hansen, singer-songwriter from Bristol, Rhode Island. He has a self-titled debut album on iTunes that you can get right now. And you can also catch him on the web at tomhansen.com. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
Thanks
for having me.
Oh, no. The pleasure is mine. So let's just start off with the first question. When you write a song, because now that you've been writing so for so long, there's only just been like one person that you've been writing, or has it been like a group of people?
Yeah, the subjects of the songs have not always been constant. A lot of times they have been females, either girls I knew in high school or intimately for however long. Typically that is a subject of mine. But as I've progressed as a songwriter and as college has given you new experiences, just as you age, I think you find a wider variety of subjects to write about.
Okay. Like, when you were writing a song, did you ever have to, like, scratch it to, like, because you just didn't like it in the end, so, like, you had to restart an entire new song?
I actually, if I look back and say, Tom, what the hell were you thinking? Then I will scratch it or rework it. I really don't like to throw anything away permanently, and maybe that's a weakness of mine, but I try to keep or archive everything I've noodled around, or every line that's kind of popped into my head. And I really get frustrated when I don't, because I'm thinking, oh wow, this could have been something great. And the idea of losing something that could have been really great is worse for me than putting out something I'm not entirely happy with. So for that reason, I try not to discard anything I write.
Okay. That's kind of cool, actually.
I don't know. Even Springsteen has said in interviews, he's had songs that have sat in, you know, a desk drawer for like 10, 20 years or so.
So what was one of your favorite songs that you've ever written about someone or for someone?
My favorite song that I've ever written has probably got to be Albany, just because it was the first song that I wrote that was more really an upbeat, something I could see myself releasing as a single someday. And it was also something where I started exploring the guitar in a different way than I really had been, which was just kind of strumming chords and singing along. That was the first song that I wrote where I kind of envisioned a full band arrangement around me, and I kind of worked that out with just the guitar, and that's not an easy thing to do. And since I've written that song, I've discovered people who have made entire careers out of, you know, hitting the guitar, being one-man bands, kind of. And I think Albany is so far my best attempt at that. And so that's probably my favorite.
Awesome. You've been in a couple of bands that I know of. And what was it like working from, you know, going from solo to a group to back to solo? Like, what was that all like for you?
Well, a lot of times it's just, excuse me, when you're younger, it's just, where do you have fun making music? Do you have more fun by yourself, or do you have more fun with other people? And generally, this is still true for me. I love making music with other people who share similar interests or similar influences. So all throughout high school, I was part of a band with Tyler and Ryan Falcoa, and we called ourselves First Time Around. We played a bunch of covers around Bristol, around Rhode Island, a couple of local TV shows, but really never did anything huge. And I don't think I ever really wrote with them, more as I just kind of performed with them, and we kind of had a similar vision of what we wanted to perform at the time. And then when we started going off in different directions, when we both started listening to new music or different music, we just found out it was no longer cohesive, and so it made more sense for us to part ways.
And did you ever have, like, disagreements when you were in a band, like, while you were still together before the breakup? It was, like, in the middle of the ride, and y'all's, and, like, you guys just could not come to an agreement at all over a song or who should be lead vocals.
I think any band who says they've never had a disagreement with their bandmates are lying. So, yes, there were always disputes over songs, over bridges, over set lists. I mean, really, there were times where anything you could fight about, you would. And you always, most of the time, there was a peaceful resolution that never amounted to anything. But there's always going to be that kind of butting of heads whenever you get either more than one person who wants to be in charge, which really wasn't the case. It was just everyone wanted their ideas to be heard, and we wanted to try different things. And in the end, if something doesn't work, I don't want to do it. I want to do what works best or what I think works best. And sometimes that is difficult to convey to people that you are working with when they're also as passionate about what they're doing as you are.
Yeah. I think people can relate to that.
I think everybody can.
Yeah. When you were recording your first CD, how did you feel while you were making it?
I felt very, this is kind of easy because I felt very unsure. I was only 15 when I recorded it. I was 16 when it was finally released. But I really, in a sense, looking back, I really don't think I knew what I was doing. The EP that you're referencing, the self-titled extended play that I put out, was four covers and only two originals at the time. They were songs that felt good in my voice. They were songs I felt like I could bring a new spin to, but they weren't, it wasn't, the whole process was something I was incredibly, incredibly unfamiliar with. And in some ways, I still am, because this is the only time I've really been in a professional studio to put out a piece of music, and the rest of the way has just been, you know, kind of hitting record on your computer and seeing what comes out. So it was a learning process for me, and it still is, and I don't think it's something that anyone really ever gets down pat, and I hope someday I'll prove myself wrong with that statement, but right now it's still very much true.
Have you ever met one of your favorite artists while you were doing a gig or anything like that?
Never while I was doing a... No, I take this back. There was one show that I did locally around December where I got to be on the same bill as my friend Jillian Jensen. She was still a local singer-songwriter who was on The American Idol and X Factor. And I saw her perform about a year prior in Warren, Rhode Island, and got to know her a little bit and really enjoyed listening to her. And so a year later, being on the same playbill as her, being on the same lineup as her, was a really gratifying feeling. And it was a lot of fun to open up for her. Not in terms of gigs. I've actually met a few other of my idols. I've met a British songwriter named Frank Turner, whose music I just adore. I think he's a fantastic poet. Great guitar player, tons of energy. And I've also had the pleasure of taking a couple lessons via Skype with Khaki King, who's a phenomenal fingerstyle guitarist, one of those people who uses the guitar more like a piano or like a full band as opposed to just a chord strumming instrument.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, both were fun in their own respects. I really can't pick a favorite out of them, but they're all phenomenal people.
Who is your biggest influence if you got to meet all these people?
Right now, it's still Head and Shoulders Frank Turner, and I drop his name a lot. I don't do a lot of interviews, but I tell a lot of people about his music, and I never miss the opportunity to see him whenever he's in the New England area. Actually, just this past month, I missed him in Connecticut, and I'm really upset about that because I had to be in school. But he will come around again, but he's got to be my biggest influence as a songwriter at this moment.
That's good. Do you think that your music inspires to people who listen to it? You know, like, I know that you have a lot of gigs and, you know, a lot of your friends and family come and, like, hear you. Do you think, like, when you play an original song, do you think that you inspire them in some way?
I think about the people who make me want to be a better musician or be a better poet or lyricist, and I do not put myself in that same set class right now, or I don't know if I ever will. Maybe it's a self-affirmation problem I have. But when you say, does it make people reflect on what I'm saying or what I'm singing or the feelings that I'm trying to evoke, I always think about that. That's, in a sense, why we create this music, because we want it to be understood and we want it to be reflected through other people. We want them to know what we were going through. In some ways, it's sort of not a cry for help, but it's sort of just, this is how I feel. I want you to understand me. And it's another way of telling a story. So I certainly hope that whenever I play an original song or piece, that it has an effect on somebody or makes them rethink something or reevaluate, or even if it's just understood, that's enough for me. It doesn't have to change your life. A lot of times songwriters will get caught up in trying to write the next, you know, Stairway to Heaven or American Pie, this classic that so many people can relate to. And the odds are that just like one song isn't going to do that. And so it's nice to almost take that pressure off yourself by just saying, here's what I want to say. I hope you understand, or I hope you can relate to it. That's much easier for me to do than to you know, expect everyone to be playing songs for 40, 50 years to come.
So what's your schedule now when it comes to your music? I know that you are in college and, you know, you have a math major, but you're minoring in music. So what's going on with your music right now?
Unfortunately, college brings a lot of what I do to a bit of a halt, especially when it comes to performing. I should mention also that I do have a band that I perform with occasionally up here called Four Hot Minutes, and they are a tribute band to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah,
I am the guitarist for this.
Didn't you guys bring out an album not too long ago?
Excuse me, yes, we did. We also put out a original EP called Collecting Light. Mm-hmm. The name of the band is Battle the Aurora, and they're more of a modern alternative, or the bassist likes to use the term post-hardcore, even though I'm not sure that's entirely accurate to describe our music. But it's really fast-paced for the most part. It's a lot of experimenting as opposed to the stuff I've usually done as a singer-songwriter or as a acoustic musician. But outside the realms of those two bands, Four Hot Minutes and Battle the Aurora, who are both made up of the same people who I love working with on a regular basis, a lot of the solo stuff kind of has to take a backseat to college. And part of that is because of the Burlington music scene. Part of that is because of my own lack of drive, because I'm focusing on school, which I cannot wait to be done with. But it's difficult to maintain any sort of a career while you're in school. And when I'm home on breaks, I try always to get a couple of gigs at regular places back home, or maybe reach out to a couple new places. But I usually save most of my gigging for the summer months. Mm. Hopefully that'll change depending on where I end up post-graduation. But right now that's the situation I'm working with, and that's the best I can do.
Do you think that after you graduate college that you'll release another solo album?
That was the plan always, was to go to college, get inspired, write a few more songs, and ultimately put out an album within around a year or so of my graduation. So hopefully that's in the cards. I've got a lot of ideas that I'm really liking at the moment that not a lot of people have heard yet, so I'm trying to get more opinions on them, finish up instrumentations or orchestrations of the pieces, and see if there's a way I could put something out in the next year or so. Mm-hmm. I would really enjoy that.
Do you think that you would send your album to a big record company so that you could get signed?
I don't know if that's the goal in the end, to be completely honest with you. The music industry, as we know it, has been crumbling for years, ever since digital downloads and illegal streaming has made everything so accessible. I mean, I don't know if a record deal is necessarily the end-all goal of what I'm trying to accomplish. My goal is to make music what I do for a living, or what I, you know, most of my income. It's to be a professional. It's to spend most of your time awake when you're working, you know, however diligently, making music. And I don't think a record deal does that anymore, or it doesn't guarantee it. Some of the most successful musicians who are, you know, making their ways on the airways now are indie singer-songwriters or bands who have been largely self-managed or just have stayed independent. They haven't gone on or signed on with major record companies, just because I don't think it's a viable option anymore.
But some of these people who are signed to major record companies, they are getting tours and they are getting more publicity. You don't want that in the end? You don't want to go and like tour like different countries and be like, I want people like everywhere to know what my music is like?
Oh, I absolutely want to tour. And I think that's the good thing about the internet, is that it has made music more accessible to people. However, that has negatively affects the record companies who are trying to find new people. The record companies do not actively go out and try to find new people to sign, which is also an issue. So you're right. You have these certain artists who are touring the world, putting out records nonstop that tons and tons and tons of people hear, millions of people hear, but you're not really getting anybody new. Anybody new that you hear is likely an independent artist who's working their way up, touring in their home countries or neighboring countries. I would love to go on tour someday and spread these songs to as many people as I possibly could. I'd even love to spend more than a couple of months doing that. However, I just don't believe you need a record company or you need these huge corporations to do that anymore today. Everything I've done locally I've done without a manager. I've been my own booking agent. I've been my own manager. I've been my own, you know, representative. It's a changing world, and record companies need to change their act if more people, if they want to sign a wider variety of people and make this lifestyle that, you know, people like Katy Perry, Rihanna, Coldplay, these major artists have, they need to change their game a little bit.
Interesting. Now, do you have any advice for future musicians, you know, if they want to stay independent or if they want to go to the major companies and like get signed, like what's your advice to them?
My advice to anyone who wants to become a better musician or just get closer to making this their profession is just to play as many shows as you possibly can. Doesn't matter how many original songs you have. It doesn't matter how many covers you do or how many people you inspire. If you want to make this a profession, I say the best way is to perform as often as you possibly can.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Tom, for tuning in with me.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, Jill.